Trinity Lutheran Church here in Coyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. To my right is our vicar, Nathaniel Bauman, who will be helping us with the service today as well. Today we are gathered to remember the life of Charles Spener, a man who was a member of this congregation and who was a beloved brother in Christ, and I know a friend, and to many of you, family member, and someone that we're going to miss very much. We gather today as people who have hope, even as we are surrounded with the reminders of death in the grave. As Christians, we gather in hope, knowing that because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us, that we will live eternally, and we will see Charlie again. We give thanks for that. For the service today, most of what you need is printed for you on our green bulletin that you've hopefully received as you came in. However, the words to the hymns are found in the burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you. And so you want to take that, and we'll begin with the first hymn today, which is number 770, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Charles was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now we continue our service as we recite together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Charles and to all your servants, who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Job, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book! Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever! For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand. Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever.
Alleluia.
Our holy gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapters 10 and 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And at this time, we will join together in speaking the words of our faith, which Charlie shared along with us, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And our next hymn is number 744, Amazing Grace. Thank you. To the family and friends of Charles Spener, to those of you who are gathered here today rejoicing over his life of faith, and especially his eternal life, and at the same time mourning that life's earthly end. Especially to you, Anita, and to the rest of Charlie's family, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was about a year and a half ago now, back in January of 2024, when I received a text message from Judy telling me all about her Uncle Charlie and how he was moving back to this area from Gorville. He had been dealing with some health issues. And my first thought in all of that was, I can't believe there's another Spener that I haven't met yet. And I started doing that thing that Hoyletonians do, where you know, you just try to figure out, how are people related to one another? How are people connected to each other? Where did this Charles Spener come from? And then once I got that figured out for the most part, then I was able to turn my attention to something that was a lot more important, which is the fact that Judy told me that Charlie had specifically requested to meet with me, that I would come and visit him. And I was really impressed by that because, of course, we had never met before. He didn't know anything about who I was. But in the midst of all of the craziness of his life at the time, coming up here and the uncertainty of everything, one of the things that was really important to him was that he wanted to get to know the pastor at Trinity Hoyleton, because Trinity Hoyleton was his church home. This is where he was baptized. This is where he went to school. This is where he got confirmed. This is where he learned all about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that meant something to him, that he would have this opportunity, moving to the Fireside House in Centralia, to finally get to reconnect with this congregation. But also, as I learned over the course of our many conversations over the last year and a half, I learned that really he was hungering and thirsting for the gospel. He wanted to hear again about the forgiveness of his sins. He wanted to receive the Lord's Supper. He wanted to make sure, especially because his health wasn't so great, that he was right with God. And I can't tell you how happy I am that I can stand here in this pulpit today and say to all of you that with complete confidence that Charlie trusted his Savior, and he is right now resting in the arms of Jesus. And what a blessing it is to be able to say that today. He was not afraid to die. Honestly, I don't think he was afraid of a lot of things in his life. He was the kind of guy that would just do what he wanted to do and say what he wanted to say. And he didn't really care if people thought badly about it. He was just going to do what he wanted. But it's exactly that quality in him that gives us comfort on a day like today, that he would speak his mind. Because with the craziness that he had been dealing with the cancer that had been growing in his body, with the fact that he was struggling to eat and to breathe and to do anything, the fact that he had to keep coming in and out of the hospital, in the midst of all of that, he still would speak his mind. And when I would talk to him, what he said, what he was thinking, was that he knew that his Lord was in control. He knew that God was good and good to him. And when I would share the gospel with him, he would always, no matter how he was feeling, he would smile and he would say, amen. The last time that I got to see him before he passed away, we had communion in his hospital room. And he told me what was going on. He
told me what he was thinking. He told me that he had made the decision to enter into hospice care. And he didn't say that in a way where he was falling into despair or he was angry at God or anything like that. He just told me how it was, and then he said he wanted to receive communion. He desired to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins and the strengthening of his faith. He wanted to draw closer to God in that moment. He knew that he needed to rely upon God when everything in life was so difficult. Charlie's confirmation verse is printed for all of you on the top of the bulletin cover, if you haven't already read that. And it's one that, in my opinion, fits him so well. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of his Lord, not ashamed of his faith, and really, not ashamed of anything else either. As I got to know Charlie, as I got to hear his stories, he was not ashamed of the way he grew up, the way he was raised. He told me lots of interesting stories. I can't repeat most of them. But he was not ashamed even of the mistakes that he had made. Because upon reflection, those things are things that he got to learn from and things that helped him to grow as a person. He was not ashamed of the way that he got to be of service to other people, for sure. I know he spent countless hours as a Hoyleton JC years ago. Not ashamed to have his hobbies and his interests that he really liked, you know, hunting, fishing, watching NASCAR races, playing solitaire, doing word searches. He was not ashamed to let everyone know that he was not going to give you the time of day between 11 a.m. and noon, because that's when The Young and the Restless was on, and he wasn't going to miss that. He was not ashamed to be there for people when they needed him. I know he took such good care of Anita, as you've had your health issues. I know he stepped in and helped when your dad couldn't handle the mowing in the rose bushes. I know that he naturally fell into this role as grandpa to your grandkids. Not ashamed. Not ashamed at all. And so we're gathered here today to also not be ashamed. To not allow death and the grave to make us feel like we ought to be ashamed, as though they have the final answer. Like Charlie, we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ won the victory for us. And we just heard in our epistle reading that our vicar read for us not too long ago, that nothing, not even death, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, today, what I want you to hear above everything else is that your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also came into this world to say what was on his mind and to not hold anything back from you in the best way imaginable, in the most comforting way imaginable. To comfort troubled hearts. Anyone who has had to deal with the brokenness of this life and the reality that death surrounds us each and every day, we all need to hear what Jesus has to say. What's on Jesus' mind? Because Christ's love and his peace is especially comforting for people who have seen trouble with their own two eyes and who feel trouble in their own hearts. And the words that Jesus uses in the second half of our gospel reading today, in chapter 14, particularly ring true when he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Now, you can hear that on a day like today and say, "Well, yeah, right." You can look look up here at this urn and say, how am my heart not supposed to be troubled today? But consider for just a moment that Jesus said these words to his disciples merely hours before he was crucified. The disciples had spent at least 3 years traveling around with Jesus, becoming really close with their teacher, their Lord. And all of a sudden he starts talking about going away from them, and yet he expects them to not be troubled or anxious or worried. How? Well, hear what Jesus says. First, he says, believe in God. God the Father, who created us and all that exists, the Almighty One, the one who knows how many hairs we have on our heads, this God loves us more than anything else that he has created. And he loves us so much that he sent his only Son to die for us. We trust God, we believe in God, because he made us and he loves us, and he made and loves Charlie too. And then Jesus follows that up by saying, believe also in me, reminding us that Christ himself can also bring us amazing comfort even in the face of death. Think about what happened when Lazarus died. And his sisters felt very much the way that I'm sure many of you feel today. And Jesus gave this calm assurance. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. How can Jesus say that? Well, shortly after this, of course, he raises Lazarus from the dead. But also, Jesus goes to the cross on Good Friday. He stretches out his hands. And he says, it is finished. What's finished? Death itself is finished. Now, how does that work? Well, a couple days later, Easter Sunday, Jesus rises from the dead. And that is a reminder that all who believe in him will be raised up too. Charlie believed that Christ gave him his life, not just earthly life, spiritual life, eternal life, life that never comes to an end. So yeah, believe in God, believe also in me, and then Jesus continues, and he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Now, from our limited earthly perspective, it's really hard for us to imagine what that means, that Jesus has actually prepared a place for us, that Jesus prepared a place for Charlie. But the comfort in the promise is not having in our minds figured out exactly what that's going to look like. The comfort in the promise is in the one who makes the promise, the one who is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus personally prepares a place for us and for all of our loved ones who have gone before us. And I can't think of a better room preparer than Jesus. Jesus wants to live with you forever. Jesus wanted to live with Charlie forever, and he gets to. Jesus is not ashamed. Jesus is the one who is not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed because he loves us. He wants us to be with him. It's such a blessing. And yet, there's even more. The week before Charlie passed away, he said there was this one night where at about 2 a.m, he said he felt perfect. He felt like nothing was wrong. He didn't have trouble breathing. He wasn't feeling any pain, just felt perfect. And he said that he hoped that he would get to feel that way one day again. Well, we get to hear what Jesus has on his mind. And Jesus has promised that on the last day, Charlie will get to feel that way again in his body, and we all will. Jesus will raise us all up from the dead. It's going to be a great and glorious day. And together we will live for eternity, never to feel ashamed again. May God grant it for Jesus' sake, and to him alone be the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Now, for our closing hymn, I know the bulletin says to sit, but we'll be singing Stand Up for Jesus. So if you're able, I'm going to invite you to remain standing as we sing hymn 660.